Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
Oh, fuck.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, February the 11th, 2016. I think it's 2016. I could be wrong. I wasn't sure of the year most of the day. This
according
is Pure Decking.
To my gear, my clock on my computer, it is 2016, just backing you up there.
Cool. As you know, earlier today, I would have sworn it was, you know, 1976, the way people were bashing computers with rocks. So,
have you got Amish tech support again?
IT.
Don't let them get the planer out.
I love making fun of the Amish on the internet. They will never know. This is Pure Decking number 206. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight I am drinking Woodford's Reserve. And 3D printing a little box in coffee filament, of all things. And yes, it actually smells like coffee as it prints. That's the only reason I bring it up. Are you? What are you drinking?
I am drinking Liquid Gold in celebration of the 160th anniversary of the Australian Gold Rush.
That doesn't seem healthy.
The more you know.
PSV, what are you drinking?
Same old. Angry Orchard.
Well, you know, it's consistent. Static, what opioids are you on?
Well, we have a couple different ones. We got the Oxy rolling with the Hydro, and Splash of Old Barton because it was kind of low on the Woodford, so a little bit of both.
All right, Madman, what are you drinking?
Flat Tire Amber Ale.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's kind of like a Killian's, except a little more bitter.
Well, I mean, most of the craft beers these days define craft as overhopped, so, you know, there's that. So,
Morps, I know this is a show about the internet, right?
Uh-huh.
When did the internet leak out into the real world?
I would say that happened around 2010. I accidentally plugged in some things that I shouldn't have backwards, and we just don't talk about the light that came out of the computer.
I thought I was like I had to go into the city. I don't go to the city very often, like the Brisbane city, like the big million people live there city. Oh, it was
reminded you of walking around fucking Second Life, didn't it?
Yes. When did it become mandatory for all women who are like over fucking weight to like land whales to have fluorescent colored hair? I thought that was an internet meme.
Oh, it's not real. Memes exist for a reason, dude. They're kind of like stereotypes.
I went to what I thought was a skinhead bar. It turned out to be a faggot bar.
Well, you see,
you fit it well then, didn't you?
On their head.
There was skin on some heads.
Why do people wear military boots with the toes cut off? Why is this a thing?
That should not be a thing. That's stupid.
I'm old, but I'm not that old. Like, why? Why is... It's not even... It's Reddit's fucking leaking onto the fucking real world.
No, it's not Reddit. It's Tumblr.
I think the hair color thing is more all these kids grew up watching anime, so they think that's what hair color is supposed to be.
No, they're 30 years old, fat fucking ham beasts. Like, the skinny little blonde-headed bitches look like they dressed themselves from the 80s. I thought I was in some sort of flashback program from the 90s that was on, like, Fox Television. Some sort of sitcom with two fathers that aren't homosexual, but they have three young girls, yet there's no molestation fucking jokes. Why?
So I look at it very simply. They have absolutely no chance of ever having a real job, so they're simply advertising this by going around with weird hair colors and acting strange and tipping the fedora and saying m'lady.
Like, the people vaping in the street, we don't even have fucking nicotine in our vapes here. It's illegal. Why are you vaping? I don't get it.
Did they at least put caffeine in it like I used to do?
I'm scared and confused and I need help. I really do. It was like, seriously, I shit you not. I look like some sort of fucking hobbit. Not only because I'm short, but because I'm hairy. Exactly. Like, dude, I did not match any. I did not see anyone else wearing anything, you know, and I was attracting attention by looking different. It was weird. I was frightened. I'm scared. I'm staying inside from now on. On with the show. Fuck it.
So, speaking of staying inside from now on, so we've all heard about Twitter, correct?
Possibly.
I love Twitter. Twitter's going to be my new hangout because it'll make me feel safe.
I'm seriously thinking about reactivating a Twitter account just to have fun.
Just to get banned.
The first thing to point out, and this one's from USA Today, Twitter has announced, and they've actually pushed the update that does this, they're no longer going to show you your Twitter feed in order, you know, in reverse, you know, newest to the top in order. No, now they're going to adjust it for tweets that they think you want to see being at the top of your timeline. So, you know, they're still a thing for age, but they're trying to say, oh, well, this is most relevant, and we think this is what people want to see. Therefore, yeah, we're going to show you these instead of showing you shit in order. That was the whole draw of Twitter versus Facebook, was that it was like a fucking chat room. It was in order.
Is it going to be like those with more followers get better precedent at the top?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, that or it's just whoever the people in charge like.
Oh, so it's high school.
It's high school or whatever's most relevant to the socio-political views of whoever's running Facebook at the time. I meant Twitter.
We think it makes life easier for users, project manager Michelle Haig said.
What makes stuff easy is actual order to something, like chronological.
It was bad enough when they introduced hashtags. That's when I left.
When are they supposed to introduce this?
They already have.
Because mine's still in chronological order. Just saying. I just left.
This article says that they pushed the update. Twitter is rolling out an algorithmically generated timeline to show tweets out of order. Starting Wednesday, tweets that Twitter thinks most people will want to see stay at the top of the timeline, with the most recent being first. When was this posted? This was posted on the 10th, so... Oh, maybe next Wednesday.
That would be next Wednesday.
Okay, so you got a week.
Oh, Morps, I just opened your second link. Oh,
The urge to rape
is rising. Oh, I think I may have the sexual level of an immigrant. I need to rape something now!
Quack-looking
cunt, isn't she? God damn it. You'd fucking kill yourself if you had to look in the mirror every morning that way, wouldn't you? Have I upset you enough yet?
Twitter has announced a new Trust and Safety Council for the service comprised of 50 50 organizations, including controversial web series Feminist Frequency, with an overall goal of purportedly to maintain an environment where people feel safe expressing themselves on the platform. Twitter's trying to turn into Tumblr.
Commission. I want to refer to it as the Truth Commission from
here. That's why we're using the Breitbart article and not the one from InfoWars, because InfoWars called it the Ministry of Truth. And as funny as that is, it is better. But we're trying to not be okay. Fuck it, it's better. But
it's better on every level.
And if anything they disagree with goes down the history hole.
The history hole. I like that.
It's 1984. It's the incinerator tube.
Is that what you get when Anita bends over? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh. No, that's the history whore.
I just want to express myself all over her face while she protests. Yes, I want to rape you, Anita. Yes, this is a rape threat. You feel unsafe yet, bitch?
To ensure people can continue to express themselves freely and safely on Twitter, we must provide more tools and policies, states Twitter's head of global outreach policy, Patricia Karts, in an official blog post. With hundreds of millions of tweets sent per day, the volume of content on Twitter is massive, which makes it extraordinarily complex to strike the right balance between abusing or between fighting abuse and speaking truth to power. Those are the two things you think goes on Twitter: abuse and speaking truth to power. Dear God, how do you view?
You can hit ignore, can't you? I believe you can ignore people on Twitter.
Yeah, it's called blocked or banned. I haven't used Twitter in a while.
Oh shit, man! Holy shit! The power button just disappeared off my computer. I can no longer turn it off. Oh crap! I'm stuck. Anita, save us.
It requires a multi-layered approach where each of our 320 million users has a part to play, as do the community of experts working for safety and free expression. Oh my God, this is like you see the people who are medicated so much that they can't do anything but grin and drool. That's how I picture this woman talking. Why? God, that's I just why we walk are in announced. There I mean, seriously, I'm reading it how I think this woman would talk. That's
dude,
why
I
we
walk
are
into
announcing
it. I want to walk into Twitter and turn the air conditioning up. That way I can...
Nice. So they're announcing the formation of the Twitter Trust and Safety Council, a new and foundational part of our strategy to ensure that people feel safe expressing themselves on Twitter. What about exposing themselves on Twitter? Do they feel safe exposing themselves on Twitter? Because we've got a senator who did that.
Anthony... always known for
why couldn't he run for president? I'd love to have Anthony Weiner throw his hat in the ring, or his dick, either one. But this is the end of Twitter, isn't it? The only people using it are going to be Tumblrettes.
Twitter is going to be you will no longer use it the way it's currently being used. You will have people setting up Twitter accounts the same way we recommend you use your Facebook account. You treat it like a resume. You only put the public face that you want on it there. So, you know, you have to go all Batman and make sure that, you know, your Facebook account only matches, you know, what
how
you
is,
want people to see.
Dude, how is CNN ever going to do another story? Because that is pretty much where they get every story from is Twitter, whether it be real or not.
So, the council includes large organizations such as the Samaritans and GLAAD, but also lists a few more controversial members. Notorious anti-free speech video series Feminist Frequency is featured on the council, as well as the Islamic Research Center, the Wahhabi Institute, launching already critical users of the social network to protest over their inclusion.
The Wahhabi Institute? Are you fucking shitting me?
The Wahhabi Institute.
They could have gone slightly less controversial and, I don't know, grabbed care.
God, does the KKK get a fucking seat as well? Like, because neither of those I would want fucking policing free speech.
Let's see, do they have there's a link on here to the actual Twitter council. So I'm just kind of curious to see who all is on it here. So let's
get down this.
Let's see, we got the ADL.
BSB had something. Morps, I keep talking over him.
I'm confused at what seems to cause both feminists and Islamic...
They both want to shut down free speech.
Yes, but if left alone, they would probably kill each other at the same time.
One would just rape the other to death and call it a day.
So let's
not
see
sure
here.
Which
got...
one, though.
Let's see. What do we have? We have Beyond Blue, the ADL, and
I don't mind Beyond Blue, man. That's the anti-suicide people. They do a good job, and they're pretty big into men's health and stuff like that. They don't just give. It's not just about women. Beyond Blue care for everyone.
INACH, whatever that is. I'm just kind of going down the list instead of reading all these out because there's a ton of them. Internet Commons Values Charter, bringing help. Okay, Internet Human Rights Council is what that is. Let's see. NetSafe.
The circle of six sounds like a homosexual group masturbation video.
Let's see. Love 146, Feminist Frequency, SaferNet, Yakin, Fosse, Reach Out, EU Kids Online, so you know you're not going to be allowed to insult anybody. Internet Watch Foundation, the Crisis Text Line. Okay, they're up there with the anti-suicide people. They're good.
Like Braveheart's, man, that's the anti-child abuse people run by Hetty Johnson. They're fine.
The Cyber Rights Initiative, Red Papas, ChildNet. Okay, so you know what? Most of these are fine. It's just they've got a few of them in there that it's just kind of like the Dangerous Speech Project.
Yeah,
really?
I was just about to point that one out.
We study dangerous speech and ways to counteract it.
Whatever you do, don't type in childnet.onion.
No.
So let's be real. This is a censorship board. Let's be really real. That's what this is. This is censorship.
What now, do you Twitter think anything's going to take the place of Twitter because of this?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody will start another business where, hey, there you go, Mops. Rent some servers. Let's do it.
Good. Not like well, the code base for once... Twitter's hard. The hard part about Twitter is scaling it because of the use. But in all seriousness, so Twitter's a private company. They can do what they want. They're like Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to set yourself up as a free speech platform, cool. But what they've done is they set themselves up as a free speech platform, and now that they're popular, they're changing over to a controlled platform. So, you know, I mean, and you know, Psychro says a good point in the chat room that it's a private platform, it's censorship, it's nothing new. So, and he's right. I mean, Facebook does censorship. I mean, you know, you got editorial boards censoring comments on practically every news blog out there that's of any consequence. So, I mean, it's not that weird.
Facebook banned all the gun groups.
Yeah, Facebook did that. So, I mean, and, you know, yeah, we can still go start up anything we want. I just think it's sad that a platform like Twitter, which, you know, purported itself as a free speech platform and is this thing for, you know, they talk about speaking truth to power, but they're not going to be doing that anymore. Oh, you can't say anything bad about Hillary Clinton because she's a woman and that's hate speech. It's like, no, I actually disagree with her policies. I don't think she'd be a good president. I think there's, you know, no, you hate women. And you would be censored on Twitter.
The big censors are going to be coming from Islamists and feminists. I don't even think it's going to be that political.
No, because those groups can find a way to be offended by almost anything you say.
Dude, Wired Magazine describes the Circle of Six as the app of the 21st century rape whistle.
Yeah.
Just quickly looking at Circle of Six, another feminist fucking movement. Where's the men's rights advocate people on here?
They can't be allowed. Those are rapists.
Where's the men's health services and stuff like that? So saying the word penis isn't a fucking offensive thing. I have testicular cancer. Fuck, someone's gonna clip that now. God damn it.
Let me just make a note of the time.
Fuck off.
We are 17 minutes in.
No, you know what I mean, man. Like, so, okay, they shut down Twitter and shit like that, and there's some kid out there doesn't want to go to 4chan with a photo of his cock to go, sup, B, what's this on my dick? You know, fucking tweets out, like, I got some lump on my testicle or something like that, and suddenly it's shut down for being fucking rape speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they're gonna censor what should be technically, you know, genuine speech.
It comes down to two things, though. One is power over others, and the second is money. Everything here is driven by money.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So it's sad, but you say these are private companies. It's greed of those private company people that other people are coming to them to give them more money to say, hey, let's do this. We can bring you even more.
How did Twitter monetize? Because it's free to use, isn't it?
They occasionally shove ads in timelines.
And they get free advertising constantly because it's always being referenced by CNN, MSNBC.
They also they have several – they get investment commonly. They're pretty much funded by VC capital. I mean, they have some advertising. They strangely enough, they receive large payments from the government.
Yeah, like Facebook.
CIA pays them a lot of money, and it's not really explained why. I assume it's just simply for access to the feed, and you know, it very well could just be somebody in the government thinks these are genuinely valuable platforms and wants to keep them going.
Oh yeah, I listened to a podcast a couple days back where somebody was talking about the CIA and stuff like that, and them being you know all up in you know people's shit on Facebook and stuff like that. This guy put up a pretty decent argument that, you know, they should be in there watching for, you know, genuine fucking shit. But they shouldn't be up in your crap for nothing. Oh, well, I can see one, why the government should be in there.
It should not be the CIA. It should be the FBI.
The FBI, but I can see why they're up in there. But I think a lot of the reasons they're pinging people in there, there's some of the stuff they shouldn't be looking at. But they've got to look at everything to find the one thing. But then again, have they genuinely ever found anything? But is that a fact? I've just confused myself. The argument's gone.
Well, Twitter, you're putting that stuff out publicly. So anyone who wants to watch it can. FBI, mm-hmm. CIA, NSA,
it's called the fire
whoever.
Hose. Twitter exposes it. It's called the fire hose. You can take everything except – you get everything except direct messages.
So. Yeah. So, yeah. Any alphabet soup agency that wants to look at it should be looking at it.
Then again, it's the direct messages you're going to be looking at because, you know, fucking Ali Akbar is not going to be putting his shit out there on the open, is he?
You would hope, but these people are not all that bright.
The last California shooting, the chick, everything that she was talking about Sharia-wise was open on her Facebook.
Okay, fair enough. Keep being stupid, terrorists.
That makes everybody else's job easier, right?
Yeah, if they were just, you know, doing their job.
So, I do think, though, in all seriousness, any large, well-known social media platform, you should not consider a platform for free speech, because it's not, especially if it's owned by a private company. Email's a little different in that it's server-to-server, right? But if your email is through, say, Google or Hotmail or Yahoo, you know, don't be surprised if these companies start censoring your email. So,
I wonder if you can do like a peer-to-peer Twitter.
Decentralized. Talking about that, there's been a couple of different attempts at it. He's talking about StatusNet in the chat room. There's a few others. There was an open source attempt at Facebook that did the same thing, where basically had an email style of server-to-server communication to pass the messages and data around. So. But yeah, a system like that would be good. I actually saw one briefly considered for Diaspora. Thank you, Psychros. He's either very quick on the Google or, you know, remembers this shit better than I. I drink a lot, though, so. And that's why I keep the chat room open during the show. I actually briefly considered, what was the project called? I saw it earlier. It's one we've played with before. I want to say GNUshare? No, that's not it. It was a file sharing system we played with before. Just got a big update to 1.6. And RetroShare. It was RetroShare. Just got a release. So, and that one's got a, you know, some messaging style components in it. It's all peer-to-peer. So we've played with that guy before. But I briefly I ended up not putting it in Dojo, but yeah, I saw that as well. So I think for truly free speech, it's going to fall back on systems like IRC, systems like RetroShare, things on Tor, because any time a platform gets large enough that you have more than, you know, a handful of people using it, and you can have any kind of control, you're looking at, you know, it's going to get controlled, it's going to get filtered, censored. Somebody's going to step in and take it over, and unless you have them pull a, you know, one, like with the encrypted email, unless you have a guy pull a lava mail, where, you know, he says "fuck you," where I'm not giving up, but I'm shutting the service down. You know, Yeah, it's 9 times out of 10, even if you shut the service down, somebody else will just take the domain and start it right back up, right? So,
well, when it comes to something like Twitter, I don't see the government really shutting it down simply because what they're wanting is access to information. If you're already dumping everything out for everyone to see, they don't have anything to gripe about. You just need a corporation with the balls to say you can say anything.
If I said government, I didn't mean to imply government. Anybody, you know, somebody's going to take it over. It could be a company. It could be, you know, it could be a very loud minority, like say SJWs. It could be, you know, anything. Just when it gets big enough, people are going to start wanting to control it. So, I don't know that it'll necessarily be the government. It could be just, you know, enough people who are loud enough to start censoring. And that's probably what's happened on Twitter. It's probably just that enough people have been screaming at them long enough that they're setting up this council just to give them some peace. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Twitter, I just wish they had the balls to say, that's what the ban button is for. We already addressed it when we introduced the product.
Yeah. You know, and blocked. I mean, you know, it's a very simple concept, but people don't want to have to, you know, see it at all. They expect the platforms.
How am I
going to
send my anonymous rape threats now?
Oh, you'll just
have to
keep spinning up
Thursday afternoon.
They're
ruining my whole Thursday.
I'll show you how to register a domain. It's not very expensive, so you can spin up as many email addresses as you want and just keep registering.
That's what 10-minute email's for, man.
That works too, yeah. So, next article up is from SourceForge.net. At the end of January, SourceForge and Slashdot were sold to BizX LLC by the DHI Group. As new owners of two iconic sites, we are excited about the future and what we can do together. We've already started to take action. The first order of business is to terminate the dev share program. So nobody knows what that is, do you? That's where SourceForge was taking the SourceForge pages of popular open source projects and wrapping them in installers and putting spyware all over them. So, like, you'd go download GIMP or, you know, LibreOffice, or I'm trying to think of ones that actually got this happen to them, where either the project moved off of it or they just got kicked off their own project page, and then the company that was running SourceForge was trying to, you know, put adware through these popular open source projects.
Wow.
So, pretty much a company bought both of them, and it's like, yeah, we're getting rid of this bullshit. We're actually going to try to make, you know, deal with what people want again. Considering the number of projects that have moved off SourceForge, it's not surprising that the holding company wanted to get rid of it because it was probably no longer profitable for them.
That's nice. You followed a depressing story by a happy story. A corporation's trying to do good.
So, move on to the depressing one next then?
Okay.
How depressing is it first?
It's kind of obvious, actually. The government has just admitted it will use smart home devices for spying.
Nice! That's like the Samsung article Big Brother just sent me. Samsung are warning all customers not to talk in front of their televisions.
Fuck!
So the TVs are actually watching us now.
I'm fucking
serious,
dude.
Soviet Russia? Wait a minute.
When I move into my new house, any cunt that comes to my house with a cell phone will be placed in a Faraday cage. I will not have a cell phone in my house.
Here's the cell phone box. You may place your device here upon entering. You might retrieve it when you're done.
My house, my fucking rules, bitch.
Well, as long as he's just doing that with the cell phone and not the person.
You'll have to wear this Faraday suit. It's going to be a little itchy. Don't mind the stains in the crotch area. That's where the last person electrocuted himself.
So, we've torn down all the drywall, put up aluminum foil, and then put new drywall up. Actually, that might help on the heating bills, too, now that I think about it.
It's not a bad idea. I might do that in my man cave. Actually, turn it into a giant Faraday.
Okay, so back to the article. If you want evidence that U.S. agencies or U.S. intelligence agencies aren't losing surveillance abilities because of the rising use of encryption by tech companies, look no further than the testimony by James Clapper. As or the director of national intelligence. As Guardian reported, Clapper made it clear that the Internet of Things, the many devices like thermostats, cameras, and other appliances that are increasingly connected to the Internet, are providing ample opportunity for intelligence agencies to spy on targets and possibly the masses. And it's a danger that many consumers who buy these products are unaware of. And so here's the quote: In the future, intelligence services might use the Internet of Things for identification, surveillance, monitoring, location tracking, and targeting for recruitment or to gain access to networks or user credentials, Clapper told a Senate panel as part of his annual assessment of threats against the United States. So, yeah.
Assad's Bin Laden's thermostat is always set on 84.
So. Yeah, so it concluded that the FBI's claim that people are going dark because they're using encryption is largely overblown, mainly because federal agencies have so many more avenues for spying. This echoes comments by many surveillance experts that have made it clear that rather than going dark, we're actually in the golden age of surveillance, which is true. If you think about things like the Amazon Echo Box, it's literally listening to you all of the time in case you happen to say the code word that activates it. Which is Hey Alexa, I think. So, you know, that's when you see, when you walk into somebody's house and you see that, that's when you just start telling it to order the most horrendous things you can think of, just to see how, you know, how much of their credit card bill you can run up before it shuts off.
The home circumcision practice kit.
I'll take one.
5-gallon drum of lube.
So, but you think about what all these things are, right? You got things like the Xbox, Amazon Echo, OnStar, the Barbie with a camera in it, of course, every cell phone.
Anything by VTech.
Yeah, anything by VTech. I mean, you just have security systems that are connected to the Internet. And here's the real bitch, right? A lot of these devices are IPv6 enabled.
Mm-hmm.
IPv6 doesn't route. Everything has a public IP with IPv6.
I
say it doesn't route, I meant NATs. Like your home router is a NAT. So your computer has an IP address, but it's not your internet address, you know what I mean? So with IPv6, the device's address is its internet address. There's no NAT. And unless you explicitly go in and block it, which I, by the way, recommend everyone do.
Shut up, Morps. You're ruining my Friday night. My Thursday's already fucked.
So, you know, unless you like, are you watching your, spooking your drafts, yeah, these devices have freaking IPv6, so you can just Google them and get on them, and half the time the security on them is a fucking joke. So
admin.
Yeah, a lot of times the password isn't changed. Even if the password is changed, you like just disable JavaScript and you still get into it. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, some of these devices are so bad you can usually find a backdoor by brooding them. So,
dude,
or it's like,
most of them is still set at the default.
Well, most of them, like, they hook it up, it works, yay, we're done. And they walk away. They don't realize what they've done.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. Oh, you just won't get that shit at my house, and I'm guaranteed it won't happen at Morps' place, or BSV, or Static's, or Madman's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Static likes to tempt people.
I'm kind of wondering, should you need a warrant for that? Because it is dumping it out open. I think there should be a warning on the box. This is just going to dump your shit on the internet.
Madman, don't make me spank you. No warnings.
So, continuing on, do we want to talk about the Vice article that says assume you're being monitored because you probably are?
I assume I'm being monitored.
I know I'm not.
You know you're not. You don't use any type of electronic funds transfers,
well,
debit cards, anything like that.
This is specifically talking about workplace monitoring.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I'm one of those weird people that keep their curtains drawn and pay in cash.
I know I'm being monitored at work.
Yeah.
I get IMs from my boss saying good job on occasion.
So, here's the thing. Well, yeah, but that's because they're recording your phone calls. So, apparently, journalists at the Daily Telegraph recently arrived to work to find Ocu-iMotion sensors attached to their desk. Staff were informed that the boxes were to help the company identify times of low usage to save on energy bills. And people kicked up with a fuss, believing the move was actually more about picking out which staff members are going to be laid off because they're not working so hard. And they they got rid of the sensors. But, you know, you don't think about it. How much monitoring is done through the phone and computer system? Yeah. So you are being monitored whether you know it or not. Employers or employees don't always tell you what they're doing. So, yeah. Basically, the rest of the article is nothing more than just explaining how most workplaces are spying on you, whether it's legal or not. So, just, you know, if you have a job, just assume that your boss is always listening. So, just as a side note, if you have work equipment and home equipment, you know, practice a little bit of operational security, and don't mix the two. Try not to use your home equipment for work. Try not to use your work equipment for stuff that's not work. It's just good hygiene, really. Seriously, don't do it. You're going to get your shit in trouble. If the moment your boss figures out your Steam screen name, yeah, that's just shit sucks after that.
Screen names.
That's why you log out of Friends while you're at work, you know.
I'm not talking about being at work. I'm like getting into work the next day. It's like, yeah, so I saw you were up pretty late playing, you know, Left 4 Dead last night. Yeah.
There was some zombies that need murdering.
Like, well, you know, we had these incidents crop up and you didn't respond to them right away. Really? You're going to go there? What? It's just like...
Did someone really do that to you, Mulps?
Yeah.
Yeah, change your Steam name.
Actually, you know, if it's outside of your working hours and it's not documented within the policy of your employment, therefore they have no grounds to stand on.
It's a perception thing. Excuse me, it's a perception thing.
And at that point, that's a lawsuit.
Providing that the 12 people on that panel can, side with you.
Yeah, it's purely a perception thing, dude. It has nothing to do with whether you're not gonna get fired over it. But it's like, yeah, you know, he was playing video games when he could have been working. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and that's gonna, I bet, any money come up at the, you know, it's not gonna be spoken openly at the performance review, but it's gonna be in your personnel file.
Yeah,
so. I would go ahead and get another Steam account. Oh, dude, you're the one always telling us, man. Keep your public face clean.
Yep, you are.
And if that means you're playing video games till 3 a.m, and they're seeing you do it, then you know, are you coming to work the next day? Oh, you look a little tired. Did you get enough sleep? Yeah, I was fine. Well, we know you were up till 3 a.m.
Well, that's what happens when you really got to figure out who the narcs are in your office because. You know, you go play in some games with some of the guys at work, and then the next thing you know, your boss has your Steam account. It's like, what?
Maybe that's why you shouldn't play games with people at work.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm making the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've done LAN parties with people at work, right?
Yeah.
Now that's on you then.
Yeah.
Don't do what Morps does, kiddies.
No, yeah, really, it's not wrong. Don't do what I do. I'm sitting here doing it so I understand it. It's not safe.
Don't do what I do. Do what I say.
So, does anybody care about Russia apparently wanting to tax the shit out of Apple and Google?
I'd like to see someone get a piece of them.
Apple Europe? That would be interesting.
It's from Network World. It's from February the 9th. Jermaine Kimilko, who was recently appointed to be Vladimir Putin's special advisor on all internet-related matters, has some big ideas about how Russia should adjust its dealings with companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Google. Seemingly not content to see the smartphone landscape effectively dominated by Apple and Google, Kimilko said in a recent interview that both companies should pay a whole lot more in taxes to the Russian government. When you buy an app from the Google Play or App Store anywhere in Europe, that is charged at the place of payment, but not here in our banana republic, Kilmico frustratingly explained in his statements originally relayed by Bloomberg. His solution, a revamp of the Russian tax code, which would see consumers slapped with an 18% sales tax on all mobile purchases, an idea which implemented would naturally direct consumers towards alternatives. If the proposed tax changes go through, the report indicates that Apple and Google might lose upwards of $3.9 billion in revenue.
Good. You want pirates? That's how you get pirates with a tax.
While government officials seeking to pad tax revenue is hardly earth-shattering, Kilmacoe's opinions on Microsoft are a bit bizarre, as he reportedly wants to get Windows from all government computers because Microsoft complied with sanctions over Putin's annexation of Crimea by halting all business within the peninsula. And without Windows getting away, Kilmacoe further adds that it's only a matter of time before the entire Russian government transitions over to Linux. Now you understand why I have this story. Literally, wow. He wants to ban Microsoft.
No, I would like to see Putin black bag some of the CEOs of Apple, Google, you know, shit like that. Starbucks.
Apple Europe has found a wonderfully legal way of not paying corporate income tax in any country.
That's what I mean. I'd like to see them black bagged, waterboarded, until they give up their bank accounts.
Ireland charges corporate income tax based on where your management is located. The U.S. charges corporate income tax based on where you're incorporated. So they incorporated in Ireland for their European branch, and their management is located in California.
Black bag them. Yep.
So this next one up is from Slash Gear, and apparently PayPal has black bagged a VPN company called Unotelic. It's a company that provides VPN and smart DNS services to their customers. But there are many reasons why a person would need to use these type of services, but since it can be used to circumvent regional restrictions and services like Netflix, PayPal has stepped in and cut them off. Earlier this week, PayPal sent Unotelic an email stating the following. Under the PayPal acceptable use policy, PayPal may not be used to send or receive payments for items that infringe or violate any copyright, trademark, right of public or publicity or privacy or any other proprietary right under the laws of any jurisdiction. So literally PayPal can cut you off for anything. Because you could use a VPN service to circumvent copyright, they are cutting off a specific VPN provider. Yeah, that sounds like PayPal was doing somebody a favor.
Yeah, it really does.
Are they saying they won't do business with any VPN or just that VPN?
Just that VPN. One.
Then yeah, somebody called up PayPal and was like, "Hi, so if you want to keep doing business in this nice country, you're not going to let this VPN take payments from you anymore. We need to be able to track who their customers are."
Just one step closer to corporate wars.
Does anybody care about the Windows IT Pro article, how Amazon Web Services Terms of Service covers zombie apocalypse?
What?
Please tell me somebody threw that in there just to show no one reads the Terms of Service.
I think they did. So, I've read this before. But, I don't remember the exact licensing. They've got part of it here. Okay, so the updated terms of cover Amazon's recently launched Lumberyard Games Engine, which I've looked at but haven't done anything with. Recently and reasonably enough, however, Amazon states that Lumberyard materials are not intended for use with life critical or safety critical systems, such as use in the operation of medical equipment, automated transport systems, autonomous vehicle, aircraft, air traffic control, nuclear facilities, manned spacecraft, or military use in connection with live combat. So that clause is in their terms of service for AWS. And they're doing that specifically because AWS does not guarantee 100% uptime for one system. You're supposed to use their system to build resilient systems within their system, like having scripts that monitor what's up and spinning up new instances and shit like that. But, you know, individual systems go up and down all the time in AWS. It's just kind of designed that way. But in the terms of service, they have this big statement about, you know, you should not use it for life critical, safety critical systems because you might have a box just up and die on you, right? And if you're dealing with the, medical equipment, that could be a problem. So they've gotten their terms of service not to do that. However, and here's the line that's always fun, this restriction will not apply in the event of the occurrence certified by the United States Centers for Disease Control or successor body of a widespread viral infection transmitted via bites or contact with bodily fluids that causes human corpses to reanimate and seek to consume living human flesh, blood, brain, or nervous tissue, and is likely to result in the fall of organized civilization.
Wow.
That is the best legal definition of a zombie apocalypse I've ever heard.
And a lawyer reviewed that.
Yes! Somebody said, yep, that stays. There had to be enough people who found that amusing enough to leave it in. That's right up there with some of my revisions I've made on policy documents that made it through several revisions before somebody caught the joke and removed it.
That's amazing. I kind of want to use this service now.
AWS is not cheap, dude. But if you want to spin up the Twitter replacement, it would be the proper one to use.
Ooh. And it would work in a zombie apocalypse.
Always good.
And we can even use that in the advertisement for our kickoff. Always free speech, and we'll work in a zombie apocalypse.
That'd actually work. So... Yeah, you can see it now, you know. What would you call it? You know, Madman Inc. Something like that. It could be in terms of services. We'll survive any social justice warriors and apocalypse zombies.
Because we can't tell the difference.
Now they just need to have a clause in the terms and service for the robot uprising, and we'll be all set.
Yeah, we would be all set. I'll bet if we asked Amazon, they'd put it in there.
This would be a really good Kickstarter project for a replacement Twitter.
We want to replace Twitter with something that we know will survive the zombie apocalypse. I like it. All right, quick article from Forbes. One of their contributors did all kinds of monitoring on Windows 10 and figured out just, you know, it's making thousands of connections every hour back to Microsoft with telemetry data. And after publishing it, they got a call from Microsoft who said, look, calm down. And that later this year, they're going to be releasing some updates that let you fully take control of all background telemetry. They're saying they're going to finally give you control of it.
Yeah, right.
And that's pretty much it. But then the rest of the article goes on explaining why some telemetry is a good thing. So I don't actually want to cover the article. I just want to mention that they have said they're going to put that update out. Let's see.
Yeah, and the world's going to go back to 1990 again.
Speaking of, then my last story tonight. Speaking of going back to 1990, Hillary Clinton reaches base with AOL login page ad.
What?
Clinton's campaign bought advertising space on AOL.
Why?
She's a moron.
Proving that they have absolutely no understanding of how the internet works.
Wow.
Yes.
Anybody else catch the, I think it's like the morning talk or whatever it is on, I think it's ABC, where the two announcers are like talking and they're like, oh, and Hillary came out and said something about Donald Trump being a racist, what's the one where men patriarch, right? Fucking the chick deadpans down the camera and says, look, Hillary, you shouldn't criticize Donald Trump on anything that he says about women. You wouldn't want him to say anything. It's really creepy. I'll get it for you after the show. It's fantastic. It made it sound like that the media knows something that Hillary doesn't really want to come out about her husband.
I'm assuming that would be kind of obvious, actually.
That would be the dozens of allegations of rape and sexual assault that plagued him through his governorship and presidency.
Emergency! Emergency!
Yeah.
It seems there are a lot of people that turned voting age after 92 that don't actually know anything about that.
Really, that Bill Clinton had sex with Monica Lewinsky in the White House?
Well, she said the term she's Lewinsky not going to be voting. Has kind of fallen out of use.
Monica Lewinsky did put out a statement that she would not be voting for Hillary Clinton because apparently the last Clinton presidency left a bad taste in her mouth.
Yes.
And a very, very Cuban smelling vagina.
Oh, fuck.
All right, let's do this. Yo! Hadouken! So, two items for Digital Dojo tonight. First one, very quickly, Network Miner, which is a tool I quite enjoy. Use it a lot, actually. Just put out a version 2. It's freebie. What's really cool about this one, it'll do packet sniffing, break down the communications by server, and then you can go pick files that were transferred out of it. Pictures, messages, credentials, and just raw files. So if you're monitoring somebody's connection and they're sending files across FTP or SMB or some open protocol or just freaking downloading things off a web page and you monitor enough of the thing to get the entire file, you can pull the file out of this program. It's nice. Really fun. And yeah, you can see all the pictures people are looking at across the internet. If you know, you're in a position to do that. So great fun at a coffee shop or some other place with an open Wi-Fi where it's not, you know, segmented. A lot of them nowadays, they segment it, so the only network traffic you see is your own. But not all of them. Some of them don't do it right, and some of them they use VLAN tagging that doesn't quite work right. So you turn on Network Miner with your Wi-Fi card just kind of in broadcast or in just, you know, wide open mode, monitor mode, and you'd be amazed what all you can pull out of the air. So great fun and a nice little tool. So they claim it works on Mac and Linux, but I've never actually gotten it to work on anything but Windows, just for a warning. But I haven't tried version 2, and it's been a while since I've messed with it. So I don't remember exactly why I couldn't get it to work on Linux, but apparently I couldn't. I just remember not being able to get it to work on Linux. I don't remember why. So might have been something stupid. Anyways, last article I have is from... Oops. Screwed that up. Last article I have is from a guy named Micah Lee. It's his blog. He actually has a nice little write-up on hardening a Debian installation using the GR Security kernel patches. For anybody who's not aware of that, GR Security goes through the Linux kernel and makes a bunch of security patches to it to harden it, to make it more difficult to do things like buffer overflows, memory exploitation, privilege escalation, shit like that. And he set up his desktop to do that. Now, I don't know that you need to do that on your desktop. You might run into shit that doesn't work very often. But if you're running a web server and you can kill buffer overflows and you can kill a lot of things that can get around your usual protections, definitely worth doing. So I've not gone through his blog entirely, but skimming through it, the instruction set looks good because it shows him recompiling the kernel to get these GR security patches in place, modifying things to reboot with it, and then setting up PAX flags, which are, if you've ever used SE Linux, kind of the same thing. It's allowing different behaviors. So it's really cool that you can really harden a Linux system up with that, and it looks like he's got a pretty good write-up on how to do it. So throwing that out there. That's all I've really got for this evening, unless anybody wants to hurl any more insults at Twitter before we close out the show here.
No, I'm pretty good. They'll get the rape train running for them. they're either going to go away or they're going to have to dump this council.
I imagine they're going to end up dumping this council as they have enough people screaming at them about it. Or the first time somebody who's mildly famous gets blocked by it. So.
See if B-tards will run a train on Twitter for a week.
they really would, wouldn't they? So, that's all I got.